Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is 3 Yards Per Carry. This is the end of our draft series. We are doing defensive backs. No, we are not doing kickers, and we're not doing punters. We're not doing long snappers either. Although, if Simon has a couple of names. Simon, who's the best long snapper in the draft?
I didn't do
testing long you right away.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to bullshit. I just didn't do them, mate. I did see
Peter
Bowden.
I've got this one.
Oh, yeah. You got that one? He's the best long snapper in the draft?
Yeah, he's the guy that's taking all the visits. And
I have
for next year's draft book, Simon, you got to at least give us 5 names, okay?
You know, the Dolphins actually devote draft picks for this. So
yes, they took one.
That's very true. Know?
Speaking of the draft book, Simon, how do you get one?
You email me at, and this is the all-important information, 2024NFL Draft Book, all one word, 2024NFL Draft Book@gmail.com. It is longer than The Hobbit. And what was quite funny today is that you always know the thing that I think people seem to like, and Omar likes, and some of the journalists like, is kind of the background that it goes into, which is kind of what I try and set it apart from all the rest. And I love it when you tweet about a particular player and a bit of fact, which was that the New Hampshire running back Dylan Lobby used to catch passes from Eli Manning, because when Manning was on holiday, Lobby's high school was next door. And so Eli would go and ask if they had any freshman kids who could come and catch passes, and Lobby put his name forward the whole time. So for 4 years in a row, he went and he was Eli's summer receiver. And so I tweeted that today, and then Dylan Lobby liked the tweet. So kind of, you know, you like that sort of stuff. So yeah, there you go. That's the sort of information you'll be getting.
Yeah, I was reading through some of my favorite prospects today. I noticed how many top prospects in this draft were 3-star recruits. And I wonder if that's just something that I guess they don't know how to grade them, and they just say 3-star.
The thing that I find most fascinating about doing this draft book is that when you dig into each player, so let's take Troy Franklin of Oregon as an example, right? Just for the player that came off the top of my head first. What I find fascinating is that you dig back into the high school and the recruiting stuff, and you see Troy Franklin's name, and then you see loads of other prospects that went to big schools or were 5-star recruits, and you're just like, what the hell happened to, do you know what I mean? You end up like, I see some names and I just think, who, like, what happened to you? And you end up Googling them, and they're like tiny, like D2 schools, but these were like 5-star kids that went to Georgia or to, you know, were really highly regarded or like set rushing records in the state of whatever. And they just, the amount of kids that just don't amount to anything in terms of being there, you know, matching their star status is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But
this show is also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is back in Florida, so if you want to participate on Prize Picks, you can use the promo code 5 5E. You deposit $100, you get $100. And of course, Better Edge. Go to BetterEdge/5Reasons and you get $20 just for signing up. All right, we're going to get going here with defensive backs. I would say 6 or 7 years from now, and I'm going to start a little bit off beat because we're going to do the same thing we've been doing through all of these. We're going to go day one, day two, day three, and maybe, you know, hit you with a couple of UDFAs, but I'm going to start in a different spot here because Xavien Howard was replaced, but Xavien Howard in due time will have a shot at the Ring of Honor for the Miami Dolphins. He was a really good player here. So we're going to start in an odd place. I have my own thinking on this, but I'm going to go to Simon first. Who resembles Xavien Howard the most in this draft? And remember Xavien Howard coming out of Baylor, what you thought of him then, what he translated into in the pros. Who is the best facsimile thereof in this draft, Simon?
That's a very good question. Who is the most likely Xavien Howard? I don't know the answer to that, actually.
Mine is, and I gave this some thought, he's a little bit more physical in run support, but the way he plays football, how sticky he is. And oddly enough, the Dolphins did meet with him. Jarvis Brownlee.
Okay. I was going to say Elijah Jones of Boston College.
Okay.
You don't think Kool-Aid McKinstry is
Kool-Aid was the other one that I was going to say. Kool-Aid is okay. The other one.
Because to me, that's yeah. Kind of the profile.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a significantly better pro than he was a collegian. I think he was a very good college player, but there's just something about him that I just can't escape him being really, really good. I just think it comes so easy to him. And times it feels like he's a little bit, not freelancing and not lazy at all, because I don't think he's a lazy player at all. I just think it's like everything is so easy that maybe he's just ready to just turn it on massively in the pros.
Well, he's another one of those guys that, you know, back in the day, you know, probably I think of myself personally as like pre Xavier Howard and post Xavier Howard. Mm-hmm. When, you know, like sometimes I'd get a little bit too caught up in guys being a bit grabby, you know, being a bit overly physical.
Yeah.
With the holding and, you know, stuff like that. And then I just sort of, you know, kind of had a revelation that this is a skill set,
yeah.
For DBs to do this and get away with it.
I mean, look at Sauce Gardner. As good as he is extremely grabby, but he's an elite corner. He's one of the best corners in the league, but he's a grabby corner.
Yeah. And you know, I think that there is a developed and very sophisticated skill set involved in doing that in ways that you're not going to get caught or not going to get called, I should say. And you know, the best, more and more looking at the NFL, who are the best corners? The best corners are the ones that are able to be physical and get away with it. Yeah. You know,
there's all quite right. A few of those in the draft as well.
So I guess that's yours, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Willie McKinstry. All right. So let's start right here. Day one, guys. I'll start right here. I only see two, unless we're going to count Cooper DeJean as a cornerback. I consider him more of a multi-tool. He's more like a Minkah Fitzpatrick. He could play everywhere and in pretty much every system. I love that defense that Iowa had last year. But I got Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold as the only for sure day one guys. I really can see, and I hate to break this to Buffalo Bills fans that listen on Rock Pile Report, which is the podcast I go on once a month, but I really do think they're going to take a corner. So I got Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold as day one guys. Who are your day one guys, Simon, and the skinny on those guys?
Well, I'd say Arnold, obviously kind of, you know, translatable skill set, really intelligent, high IQ kid. He is grabby. He's very sudden. I love what he does to undercut routes. Gets his hands on the ball an awful lot, can play inside, can play outside. I just think he's a really good player. I mean, he sort of is right on the periphery of that sort of height, weight, speed, being the anti-height, weight, speed. I mean, he's only just 5'11", he's 189, he ran a 4.51, so he's not a burner by any stretch, but he has that suddenness, that explosion at the top of routes, heel tackle, great kid off the field. Quinyon Mitchell, superb, kind of the prototype in terms of height, speed, weight, speed. Then 6 foot, 195 pounds, ran in the 4.3s, 4.33. He was the best defensive player at the Senior Bowl. You know, small school, but answered all the questions that needed to in Mobile. 46 career pass breakups. You know, just a really good player. Just looks the part, physical, long. I like McKinstry a lot. I think he's a first-round player, and we just talked about him. I think he's excellent. DeJean, we'll get to probably in a minute, but, you know, one of the more unique studies in the whole draft, really. He's a weapon rather than a corner, and I think Miami fans would be suckered into thinking he was going to be a corner. And I think there'd be a lot of people disappointed if they drafted him, and I think he'd be an excellent draft pick. I don't think he's going to be a corner in Miami. I think he'll be an all-over player. I think he'll be a safety. He'll be a corner in zone, and the Ravens played zone 73% of the time last year, so that's what Anthony Weaver's looking to do. You can play him as a nickel, who can play that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson role. You can play him as a safety. You can run him down into the box. He tackles. I think he's one of the best three or four tackling corners in this draft. And he's a fantastic return man. Mm-hmm. And he's just an incredible athlete. You know, he is a state champion in you know, he won two state football championships. He won one state championship in basketball. He was state champion in the 100 meters. He was state champion in the long jump. He ran a 10.71 100 meters. You know, he scored 25 points per game in basketball, 1,832 career points, which is more than Harrison Barnes, who plays for the Sacramento Kings. He was a AAU basketball standout. I mean, this kid just is he was Gatorade Player of the Year in Iowa. He's just an athletic, you know, freak, phenomenon, you know, and I think people get brought up because he's white, and I just think he's just a really good player. I think Ennis Rakestraw of Missouri may well end up in the first round, and he strikes me as a Buffalo Bills corner. He was injured a bit last year, and he's slim. He's only 183 pounds, but he is twitched up as fuck. He is a really good, wiry, plays big, aggressive, physical man, press man corner with good feet, comes downhill, hits in the run game. Yeah, he's just fluid as a mover. He's very, very quick. He can flip his hips and run. I think those are the guys that kind of sit on the periphery of the first round. And then there's a couple of guys who are starting to get a bit of buzz. Max Melton, whose brother is Bo Melton, who plays for the Packers. I think Max Melton, you look on his tape, I think he's one of the best pure man cover guys in the class. Play inside, play outside. Very, very athletic. And then the guy that I felt really most uncomfortable about, which is Nate Wiggins of Clemson. You know, he had the incredibly fast 40 time of, he ran the 4:28. He's 6'1", but he's 173 pounds. And he is long and obviously extremely fast. And he is athletically gifted. He's had some issues off the field with maturity. And the 173 pounds, just he's got no play strength at all. But as a press man or mirror match corner, obviously great upside, and great recovery speed. And I think that's the most important factor, because he is using that recovery speed an awful lot, which does worry me because it means he gets beaten a lot. But yeah, I would say those are the kind of guys that you feel like would end up in the first round. And then you've got a bunch of guys hot on the tail of that. But those would be the guys in the mix, I think, Chris, in the first round.
Chris?
Yeah, I think that, well, I'm not sure that all of them will go in the first round.
No, me neither. But I think they're the mix.
Yeah, in the mix. I think that's right. You know, so the real wild card for me is, because Terrion Arnold and I think Quinyon Mitchell are pretty well accepted, right? I mean, they're generally well accepted as straight up first rounders. Although, you know, it is kind of odd to me, and I mentioned it on when we were on with Kyle Krabs earlier, like, you know, you can actually find you can find tape of guys beating Terry and Arnold, you know. Yeah. Like the Dolphins brought in Ramel Keaton from Tennessee, and if you look at that game, I don't know if actually I don't want to say that they brought Ramel Keaton in, because Barry Jackson might be mad at me. They somehow had contact or showed interest in some way with Ramel Keaton of Tennessee. I don't know if it was a top 30 visit or what. But you go look at his Barry. Game, and yeah, he go look at his game, and you know, he's beating Terry and Arnold up and down. You know, he's mossing him. He's making him miss after the catch. I mean, this is a guy that obviously is going to be day three, if that. So, you know, that I've always had some questions about Terrion, because, you know, you do see him getting beat. But I think that a lot of that has to do with his confidence level and, you know, sort of his aggressiveness. He is an aggressive guy. But the others, you know, aside from Kool-Aid McKinstry, who, you know, we're establishing before is the most, to me, like Xavien Howard, and I do have a lot of confidence in him. Aside from that, I'm like, you know, I'm not sure what to think of the rest of these guys. I'm not sure what to think of Nate Wiggins. Is this another case of, you know, Eric Stokes or something like that? You know, who is, you know, very, very athletic, very fast. I don't know how the Packers feel about his career so far, but you know, that's kind of something that comes to mind. But the real is, and we're going to talk about it for other reasons, is Cooper DeJean, whatever, however you pronounce his name. Is he a corner? That's the high profile position. That's the most valuable position that he could be playing. If he can play corner, it's sort of like, why are you playing a guy at guard if you acknowledge that he can be a really great tackle. You know, well, you know, the tackle is the higher profile, more important position, higher paid position. And what do we think about Cooper DeJean? What does he think about getting paid as a safety as opposed to getting paid as a corner? I think he would want to play corner personally, and I would think the coaches would want him to play corner if he can play corner. I just don't, you know, do we think that there's a deficiency that has us move him? Or do we think that, you know, it's one of those things where we get caught up, yeah, but he could be really good as a safety. It's like, yeah, but really good as a safety, he only gets paid $12 million a year.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I would look at it this way, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's making what, $16 million a year?
But I don't think Minkah could have played corner and been, you know, nickel. That's a different deal.
That's fair. I will say this about Cooper DeJean, and we're going to talk about him twice. He's actually one of the few guys, I think he's the only guy, that we're going to talk about in both parts of this show, because we're going to talk about him a lot in the second half of the show. Yeah. I will say this. Iowa has Phil Parker as their defense coordinator. I watched them a lot this year. I don't know if it's their opponents. They did play some good opponents. It's a really good defense. They play a pressure five defense. They play a lot of tricky coverages. He was a defensive backs coach at Toledo. They played a lot of quarters, and they shifted a lot into cover three at Iowa. You know what defense did that a ton last year? Baltimore. I think he's a fabulous fit for Miami, but not as a corner, as that multi-tool playing everywhere.
But if they are going to play 73% of zone as well, which is what the Ravens did, he is a zone corner. You know? So... I mean, he's sticky in the hips. He is a bit sticky in the hips, and that's the thing. But I think he's an electric player, and as a return man, I think he's outstanding.
Yeah, and I don't think you can gloss over the fact he is absolutely well coached. You take an Alabama defensive back, you're gonna get a polished project, a polished prospect. You take one from Iowa, this is one of the best defensive coaches in football. There's a reason he makes $2 million a year. In fact, I think he makes more money than the head coach.
He started at corner. He started at slot. He started at the cash position, which is that sort of free safety hybrid that, you know, Alabama have the star position and, you know, Iowa have the cash. He's played free safety and strong safety in practice multiple times for Iowa. His relative athletic score was 967 out of 10, which was 37th out of almost 1,100 free safeties over the past since 1987. You know, there is an awful lot to like about his game. Like I said, he is a terrific run defender. And, yep, he's not sudden. He doesn't necessarily explode off that back foot when you click and close. But he is physical. He is competitive. He will tackle you. He is a special team standout. He'll be a gunner straight away on special teams. He's got serious punt return juice. He's just one of those prospects that you focus on how can he help your team and put him in the position to do so, rather than thinking, well, he can't do this and he can't do that. To me, he's a top 20 player, and he should have Pro Bowl plus upside. I just think he's just too athletic. If you use him correctly, he's just too athletic.
Yeah, and again, I really stick to that comparison. I really do think he's Minkah Fitzpatrick all over again. He's that type of player. Moving on to day two, man, this draft is loaded. You need a corner. And you're in that second round. If you're 55, you might have one of these guys drop right into your lap. I love this group at the top of day two. And I really do believe at the top of day two. And, man, I've struggled, you know, to try to mock somebody to Buffalo. And I really got to think that they're going to take one of these corners. They need help in the secondary. But once it gets past there, you have a kind of smooth sailing to 55, where you could mock almost anything but corners to a lot of those teams between Buffalo and 55. I got two guys in the second round that I absolutely love. I love TJ Tampa, and I think he's the best corner in this draft facing the quarterback, meaning cover three or quarters corner. And he's pretty good in man too. He could get his hands on you in press and reroute you. So he's pretty complete. I thought I shortchanged Max Melton a little bit. I watched a little bit more of him today. He's a fabulous player. Those are my two big standouts, TJ Tampa and Max Melton. What are your day two guys, Simon?
Yeah, I like Melton. I think, you know, you watch multiple games of these players, but you always want to see highly regarded prospects against highly regarded prospects, right? And, you know, we saw Graham Barton against Jared Verse. We saw, you know, Zach Fraser against Tavondre Sweat and Murphy. Max Melton plays Marvin Harrison Jr. about as well as anybody played him during Marvin Harrison's time at Ohio State. And I think it, you know, it was indicative of just how well he did that when he had to leave the game briefly for an injury, the Buckeyes capitalized and scored with a pass to Marvin Harrison Jr. I thought Melton played really well. I thought his tape was a little bit unbalanced at times at the start of the year, but turns out he'd broken his hand and he couldn't press. He's very, he is a very press corner. He's got excellent feet, loose hips, changes direction really well. He's grabby. He's a bit grabby as well, but I like him a lot. I think he's a good player. I like Kamari Lassiter of Georgia. He is a really, really good player. I mean, he's a bit small. He's 5'11", 186. He ran a 4.61 at the Georgia Pro Day. Lack of ball production isn't amazing, but this is a kid that just plays. You look at his three cone, it was 6.63. You look at his short shuttle, it was 4.12. That was first and third best in terms of the cornerback position. So I think he's probably a guy that will end up playing inside, but a terrific player, just absolute work ethic off the charts. The Georgia coaches love him. And I just thought his tape was really good. You got Mikey Sanrasil of Michigan. Again, just draft good players. Every time I watch Michigan, he's making plays, that dude. Again, 4.01 short shuttle, 40-inch vertical. And he was a receiver for 3 years at Michigan. He's only played 2 years defensive back. Just a really good player. Just is always around the ball. Great ball production. 6 picks, 12 pass breakups just last year alone. 17 picks overall in 4 seasons. 2 at Michigan, 2 in high school. Can blitz. He's a playmaker. Special team sub packages. They call him the CEO at Michigan because he's such a leader. I like Tampa. I think he's a good player. I think he's a bit over aggressive sometimes. Again, he's another grabby corner. The kid I really like is Andrew Phillips of Kentucky. I think he's an excellent player. He's 2 inches smaller than Legarius Sneed, and he's a tenth of a second slower in the 40. But everything else is a match. The on field profile, the vertical is exactly the same, the broad jump exactly the same, all of it shows up on tape. He just understands routes and timing, and he's explosive as a mover. He was a track athlete. He was the number one ranked long jumper in America in high school in 2020. There's a video of him online where he literally jumps over a car in a car park, and I don't mean the bonnet, I mean the actual top bit of the car. Wow. 11 second 100 meter guy. He's, you know, a really, really good player. A lot of top 30 visits, 49ers, Bills, Steelers, Eagles, Texans, Cardinals, Giants, Lions, Bears, lots of people interested in him. Mentioned Elijah Jones earlier on at Boston College, good player, long. Rake Straw's other partner, Chris Abrams Drain in Missouri, is a good player. Renardo Green, Florida State, he was great for the Seminoles, and I think the Dolphins didn't Miami bring him in, or maybe that was Jarian Jones, actually.
Jarian Jones, they did.
That's Jarian Jones. And then the other kid that I think is fascinating and hasn't really been talked about a lot, but Kyrie Jackson of Oregon, he transferred from Alabama. He is 6'3". He's 203 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's only got 14 career starts since he left high school in 2018. Ran a 4.50 at the combine, and he'll be 25 before the start of the season. But he is a really, really good corner, a really good cover corner. When he gets his hands on you, or he goes up at the catch point, it's over. He's not twitchy necessarily, and he can be a little bit tight, but he looks back for the ball. He tracks the ball really well. He's handsy, but in a good way. He's a solid run player. You know, he might be a cover one or a cover three guy, but he's got a high ceiling. And I know that, you know, from Jim Nagy, I know that a lot of teams are very, very interested in Kyrie Jackson. So, but you think you can just go on. You have Cam Hart, Kalen Carson, Jarian Jones, DJ Jett. There's so many players, Chris, aren't there? This is a great group of corners.
Well, first off, Kyrie Jackson, when you're 6'4" as a corner, and, you know, because he's 6'036", I think, right? And, yeah. And, you know, so that's like basically a full 6'4".
He is 6'3", 4".
Well, depends on who's measuring.
Depends on your measurement.
yeah, when you're that and you have over an 11-foot broad jump, I mean, you know, geez. I think that that's an interesting player. But the two that I'd be interested in for day two I mean, this is not even necessarily a Dolphins fit. It's just guys whose profile and the way they played that I appreciate and I like. You mentioned already Mike Sanderstiel,
yeah,
of Michigan, just the heady way that he plays. And I don't think that, you know, there's an issue with him being a slot guy. You know, I don't think he's a slot only guy. I actually take kind of a different view on the slot position. I think that is a position where you can make an incredible impact on your defense if you play it well, because, you know, the fact of the matter is three wide receiver is the dominant personnel group in the NFL, and so a slot guy can definitely make a big impact. Who do you want to do that is sort of the question. You know, you do have some bigger slots coming around, heavy nickel packages with safeties as a slot. We mentioned Kyle Hamilton of Baltimore playing in the slot a lot. You know, obviously Sanderstiel is not that, because he's what, 180 pounds, something like that, 5'10". But you can make, you know, I'm talking about like Trent McDuffie is a phenomenal player, right? And he is predominantly in the slot. And I don't think that's an issue. So I like him. I like his, I guess, football IQ profile. I think that's a home run pick in the second day. And then you briefly mentioned him, Cam Hart of Notre Dame. I like his length. I like his overall athletic profile, but I think where he really separates himself is he has very good hands. And I don't just mean like catching the football. I mean like well-coordinated hands. And I think that that's going to translate. I think that ultimately you're talking about a guy who, again, mentioned Kyrie Jackson being 6'4". Cam Hart is what, 6'2", something like that. And yeah, he has a good athletic profile. He can keep up, he can play. And just with those really good hands, I think that that's where he could start to separate from some people. But that's, you know, everybody's mileage. Actually, he's a full 6'3". I didn't realize that. But full 6'3" with a 10-foot, 10-inch broad jump, 39-inch vertical. I mean, we're talking about a good athlete. And so, yeah, I like those two for the second day.
All right. And moving up, and I think we can close cornerbacks out with this. Simon, give me three day three guys and one priority free agent.
Oh, good question. I like a kid called Kamau Haddon at Tennessee. He's 6'1", he's 196. He was a Central Michigan. He committed to Central Michigan, didn't qualify, went to JUCO, signed for Auburn, then transferred to Tennessee without playing snap for the Tigers. He had a very, very tough childhood. He was almost murdered when he was 16. His brother was murdered. Murdered someone, an Eastern Michigan wrestler. He's been in prison, the brother. But Kamau has struggled given his past. But he's a good player. Looks like a corner. Looks like he plays on the outside. His size, he's long, he's athletic. The inexperience, he's got some inexperience. He's not a great tackler. But as a corner, I think he's a very interesting prospect. Now, I don't know in terms of digging into the background and in terms of, you know, how much of a problem there is, because I've not spoken to the kid or his teachers or those sorts of things. But in terms of his on-field stuff, he's very good. This guy might end up on in the third round. That's Josh Newton of TCU. He started 58 games. I mean, you know, that is some serious experience. He's a bit, you know, he's 5'10", he's 190. But he's got a great football brain. He's 4,000 career snaps. He's just a leader, kind of full grasp, no breaks the whole time. Very technically sound, ran a 4.50. He can close quickly in the last few seconds. I really liked his game. And I think in the right scheme, he'll be a really good pro. And apparently was hugely impressive in the interview process. And then the guy I'm probably going to pick on, because I didn't watch a lot of his games because... for obvious reasons, but it's the kid from Toronto, Quantes Stiggers, who I saw a number of games with Toronto, and just one of the most unique stories in this draft. I mean, he went to Lane College, which is an HBCU. because he didn't qualify and he was so far under the radar. He played at this tiny sort of chart high school, only had 27 players, so was so far under the radar. He had no real scholarship offers from D1 program, so he went to this HBCU. His dad was involved in a car accident in his first season, and he was in a coma for 8 months before he passed away. And Stiger suffered from real depression, dropped out of school, worked at a car wash near his house, and essentially his mum wanted him to continue playing. So he played this fan-controlled football, this 7-on-7 indoor league, took the league by storm, was spotted by an Argos coach, went to the CFL, was rookie of the year, started all 16 games, had 5 picks, went to the Shrine practices, absolutely ripped it up. His tape is really good in terms of watching him in the CFL. And he's been on a lot of visits. I mean, this is a guy that people do not want to get, you know, let get to become a free agent. But he, you know, he's been to the Bills, the Ravens, the Vikings, the Bengals, the Colts, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Broncos, the Jets, the Lions, the Texans, the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Falcons. I think he's got the most 30 visits of any player that I've certainly seen. He is a very interesting guy. And then in terms of an undrafted free agent, I quite like, there's a kid, a small school kid at Virginia State called Willie Drew, who was 5'11", 191. I thought he was quite a good player. He was had a bit of a mixed week at the Senior Bowl, but he didn't look out of place. He's got good hips. He transitions well. Probably needs to get into an NFL weight program a little bit, but he's not a bad player. This corner class could go on forever, but there's some good players here, Chris.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say I forgot to give my UDFA. A.J. Woods from Pittsburgh, anybody that plays the game with that much testosterone has to be good. I believe he's going to be a UDFA. I've read a couple of draft books that are classifying him as a UDFA. If he's a UDFA, I'm making a phone call. I like him a lot. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to – for one guy, well, because I was going to mention Quantes Stiggers from Toronto, but, you know, Simon went through them. I was actually, Simon, did you mention Colorado State, Chigozie Anousium?
I didn't.
I wanted to ask you about him. I'm gonna bag off on some of these late round corners because frankly I haven't done a lot of work on them, but I will ask you about him because I believe the Dolphins have shown some interest in him. But yeah. Before I hang up the phone, I will say my UDFA. My UDFA is Storm Duck of Louisville, and only because of his name.
Well, we're going to take a guy because of his name, and we're going to do safeties next. Jalen Phillips of Clemson. Good player, too, by the way.
But, yeah, right. Simon Chigozie is in Anousium. Do you have anything on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy, Chris. He's a six-year senior, first of all, which is obviously, you know, something that you have to take into consideration given the age. But he's 6'1", he's 200 pounds, he's physical, he's aggressive. I don't think he transitions very well. I think he, you know, you watch him kind of gather. Sometimes, you know, with tall corners, he's a little bit high-hipped as well. And he just has to gather, take those extra steps before, you know, accelerating and driving onto the ball carrier, which obviously then allows for separation at the top of the stem. But he's a good tackler. He comes downhill. And I think, you know, in terms of rotational sort of number four, number five corner, and a guy that will play special teams, that's kind of what you're looking for at the back end of the draft, either as a UDFA or in the later rounds. And he certainly fits that profile.
Crazy, crazy athlete though, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Over 6'1", 200 pounds, runs a 4.40. 37 vertical, that kind of wing, 6'7" wingspan. I mean, that's
unheard of.
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to leave it there and we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk safeties. But first, these words. Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free.
Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. All right, Simon, this safety class, this is a hell of a class. Although, there's probably going to be one name called on day one from the safety class, and we all know who that is, Cooper DeJean. But the top of this class, pretty loaded. Now, I may not like Tyler Newbin and Javon Bullard as, you know, more than most, or Jaden Hicks, but I love Kalen Bullock, and Cole Bishop is as complete a safety as you're going to get in this class. And Malik Mustafa is the best box safety in the entire class, I believe. This is a really, really good class, and I think you could see a run on them on day two. And personally, I got three going in round two at least. Your thoughts at the top of this safety class? We're just going to lump day one and day two together.
Simon. Yeah, I think it's a good rounds two, three, and four class. I'm not sold it's an amazing class at the top end. You've got Newbin, obviously, 55 games, really good cover guy, solid run defender, but really, really average test scores. But you can't argue with the ball production. 12 picks, 21 PBUs, pair of forced fumbles over the last three seasons. He's small, he's 6'1", but he's 199 pounds. You know, so the play strength needs to improve a little bit, but he has a really good understanding of, you know, where the ball's going in terms of the pass game. He's also an excellent special teams player, 703 snaps on coverage units. He's smart. His RAS score was just 367, which is really, really poor. Cole Bishop's another guy, played too high and slot for Utah. He was a bit of a sleeper, really, I thought, back into the year. Rocked up at the Senior Bowl, dominated 1v1s, went to the combine and just tested out the building. To me, he's got a kind of robber safety, a real student of the game, absolutely, like, spent hours in the film room. And like I said, when he went to Mobile, he was just like, he was running the routes for the receivers in terms of in those coverage drills that they run there. I think he's a really good player. I think he'll end up going in the second round. Unfortunately, he's a Patriots fan, which is a bit of a loss. But Cam Kitchens, obviously, you'll know a lot about Alf. And another one is kind of a difficult assessment because, you know, his tape is full of, you know, absolute quality and the intangibles are there. But you are left with a lot of question marks about what his best position is, because you would think it would be a high post free safety, but then you wonder whether or not, given his really bad athletic scores, whether or not he can actually play it. But, you know, his combined RAS score was 239, which was terrible. Mm-hmm. But you look at how well he's put together physically, how versatile he is, how he plays multiple roles, single high, plays from two shell structures, man matching in the slot on tight ends. He's a box enforcer. He's a blitzer. And the combine essentially made me go back and look at the tape. And I just didn't see a guy that ran as slowly as he did or did as badly as he did. I mean, the worst broad jump of any defensive back, the second worst broad jump of any DB or linebacker or edge defender. But you watch him blitz, you watch him, you know, there's a play against NC State where he just starts in the middle, gets to the sideline, makes a diving pick from single high. And you just think, this is a guy that it just plays faster than his times. He's aggressive, he's physical. I love that he's always around the ball. I thought he missed a few more tackles last year than he did the year before, but he just looks good in space. I think he's a decent player. I think he's a mid-day two guy. I actually like Bullard. I know you don't like him, but I think he's a really good player, and I think he's absolutely beloved. Again, he's a military kid, work ethic, habits off the charts. You know, he's small, he's 5'10", he's 197. He might be a slot safety. But, you know, he will contribute from day one in any manner of schemes. That kind of little Swiss Army knife can play you know, one of about four or five roles on the back end. The guy I like a lot, Adrian Taylor Demerson of Texas Tech, never played a down of defense till he got to Tech. He's just a ball hawk safety. He ran a 4.41, just gets his hands on the ball all the time, whether that's picks, whether that's PBUs. He's a bit aggressive. He can get suckered in. He take the cheese a little bit. But, you know, skill set of ball skills, versatility, 500-plus career snaps on special teams. I like him a lot. I think he's a really good player. And then Mustafa, Bob Sanders 2.0. I mean, this kid, I mean, I remember when we talked about him, first of all, in OnlyFins, and I popped the video up, and I mean, he comes downhill like an absolute, you know, like he's been fired out of a gun. He's a kick blocker. He's just a winner, won a lot in state championships in high school. The recovery speed, he can cover, he's ran a 4.52, he had a 42-inch vertical. All that shows up on film. He's just so explosive, and he'll just come and he'll hit you in the mouth from that strong safety spot.
Yeah, if Kevin Harlan's doing our games, right, he can not only can he do the he's got Hill thing, but he could just translate what he does in the NBA over to the NFL with his no regard for human life.
Yeah.
Because this guy just runs. This guy comes downhill like he's on fire.
Mm.
And it shows up consistently. Look, I wanted to give Cam Kitchens a little credit, and although you know that I'm not a huge fan. I wanted to compare him to Daron Harmon. Problem is that Daron Harmon at his pro day ran 4.5 flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think the first step is in his head, though. And I think it just
does. But you could see it, right? You could kind of see Daron Harmon a little bit there.
Well, I think his ball production's better, Kitchens. That's what I would say. And then you've got like a bunch of guys like Bullock, who came in on a 30 visit, but he, you know, he's 6'2", but he's 187 pounds. You know, he's
young though, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's young, but I liked him when the ball was in the air. But this is a kid, I mean, he's only 21 next week after the draft, but his nickname was Sticks because he's so thin. Doesn't eat vegetables, so McDaniel will absolutely love him.
But yeah, if he gets drafted by Miami, and I know everybody's already have, you know, they have it dancing in their head, like, oh my God, we're going to have a 188-pound guy trying to tackle, you know, 240-pound tight ends. This guy will play 25 yards from the line of scrimmage if he comes to Miami, okay? And he's not an 800-snap guy. But I do like him, though.
Is that at USC, he had to put on a special diet just to maintain weight. And that worries me in terms of, you know, it's a bit like Adonai Mitchell and his diabetes. That, you know, that worries me too. Kalen Bullock having to, you know, have a special dietist, special nutritionist, so he can put on and maintain weight, only to get to 188 pounds. That would concern me. And then you've got guys like Jaden Hicks and Bo Braid, and a guy I really like in Missouri, Jalen Carlisle. So just, I don't know where he's going to play, but he's 6'2", he's 231. Good God, he comes downhill and he will punch you in the face. I mean, this is a kid that is, I mean, he is serious, like a proper serious human being. Runs an 11-second 100 meters at 231 pounds. He is big and physical, and you know, he'll probably be a linebacker, but he's an interesting player as well. So there's some, you know, that sort of rounds 2, 3, and 4, there are some very interesting players. But yeah, there's a lot to like across different skill sets as well, whether that's box safeties, downhill, alley runners, single high, ball players, all of those. You know, there's some talent.
Yeah. By the way, I'm currently being trolled by NFL Draft Buzz and Dane Brugler. Both of them have just moved Kalen DeLoach from linebacker to safety.
Oh, there you go.
Chris, the top end of the safety, and don't mention Cooper DeJean because I have a little segment for him at the end of this thing. But your day two guys, day one guys in this draft.
Well, he is the top end of the.
Yeah. To me. That's why we're going to do about 5 minutes on him to close out the show.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot of interest in anybody else. I recognize that the Dolphins will be interested in seeing what Kalen Bullock has because of the versatile way that he's been used and his age. I think that he has sort of an attractive profile there, but I think at the end of the day, if the Dolphins don't go with, well, again, I'm not allowed to talk about Cooper DeJean, but if they don't go there, then I think we're talking about a day three pick. And I think we're talking about probably not even Malik Mustafa. And even though we're all fans of his, because, you know, I think he's going to go too high. I think we're talking instead about guys like Keaton Oladipo. We're talking about, you know, who's Omar Brown from Nebraska is a guy that I really like. He's very versatile in the way that he's been used. He was, you know, box safety, slot safety, originally a free safety. You know, every year he's been moved to a different position. He's played under, I think, four different defensive coordinators. So he's just, you know, that talk about school of hard knocks, having to learn different schemes, having to learn everything, you know, kind of on the fly. And yes, that will probably have an effect on your overall effectiveness and production as a college player, but it doesn't make you a bad player. It actually makes you a better player. So that's part of what interests me about Omar Brown going forward, maybe being a better pro than he has been a college player. Actually, the second youngest safety in this group interests me quite a bit, and that's a guy that Alf, you will know pretty well, and that is the monster James Williams at University of Miami. I think with his size, strength, ability to move, I think he is a safety. I don't, you know, we've talked about him before. I think that he compares to a Cam Chancellor. When I watch him play, I think he is a valid NFL player on that field. He's not a guy that, you know, you watch and you're like, he's big, but that's pretty much it. No, I think he actually makes plays, and I think that he can. I don't think he's a linebacker. I don't think he plays like that. I think he is actually a safety, and I would use him as basically a matchup kind of guy. And so he really interests me. He's the second youngest safety in this class. And so I think that the chances are pretty good that that he's got a good future in front of him. So he's the guy that interests me the most. But you know, I did look at a lot of Oregon State. I think that, you know, a slot guy, very well accomplished within the slot. Tyke Smith of Georgia is another guy that's very well accomplished in the slot. And I think the Dolphins are looking for that sort of slot versatility. And then of course we talked before about Sione Vaki. I kind of agree with Simon that when I watch his safety tape, it's kind of an average safety, right? He does seem like that, but he is also Mr. Versatility, not just in the fact that he's played running back, and his running back tape is actually really compelling to me. But also the number of places that he could be used. He was coached at the Senior Bowl by the defensive coordinator of the Jets
Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, Ulbrich. Yeah, I think Ulbrich coached him in the Senior Bowl, and I recall him having some very, very high praise about him in the way that he got the defense and the way that he could be used all over. And that kind of piqued my interest because I know that there's such a relationship between Ulbrich and Mike McDaniel and those guys all from being in San Francisco. Not that, you know, it's, and we're not talking about scheme fit. It's not Baltimore where we got Anthony Weaver from, but it does interest me, particularly as we get into areas of kind of unexplored territory with respect to the new kickoff rules. By the way, we are talking about safeties. We're talking about like guys that are going to be used on those kickoffs. And it's going to be important because if they succeed in resurrecting the kickoff with these new rules, completely, you know, odd, different set of rules, then these guys are actually going to be very important in that and preventing touchdowns, essentially. So I think that a guy like Vaki is interesting because if he could pull double duty, if he could, you know, function as an emergency running back in addition to being on defense, then it allows you to bring an extra special teams guy into the active dressed on game day crew. So that's something that interests me as well.
All right. Moving on to day three, Simon, do you have a group of day three guys? If you could give three, that's awesome. If you don't, you don't. and one UDFA. My UDFA, I already said, is Jalen Phillips from Clemson. Good player, team captain. Just didn't test all that great, but good football player. Your thoughts, yeah, Simon?
I quite like Jalen Simpson of Auburn. He's a bit undersized. He's a bit high cut. But he ran well. He ran 4.45. He changed his direction really well. He was a rotational corner. He can move to safety. He's got really good eyes. He understands route combinations. He's played a lot of receiver. I like him. I think he's a good player. The concern is that he just does not get involved in any sort of physical contact, combat. I mean, there are times where you think he's just probably better off playing flag football in terms of hitting. But I think he's a really good, you know, chess piece on the back end. He's an explosive mover, gets his hand on the ball an awful lot. And I think when you look at him against some of the bigger SEC receivers and tight ends, I think he played really well. I like the kid that won the Thorpe Award, Trey Taylor out of Air Force. I think he's a good player. You look at the athletic testing skills, and you know the testing skills were excellent. He ran a 53.40. His overall performance, his RAS score was 9.33 out of 10, which was 73rd out of almost 1,100 free safeties. I think you look at what he does on the field. I mean, he's 6 foot 213 pounds. I mean, you know, he played 852 snaps at strong safety, 613 at free safety, 379 in the slot. He's a really good blitzer. He will come down and hit you really hard. And he is not only explosive, but he also is able to play straight away because he's got his release from the military signed by the Secretary of Defense. So Chris's guy, I remember a few years ago, we talked about Chris's guy, the receiver, who had to go and do his military service after all that. And this is not a kid that will have to go through that. This is a guy that will, I think Taylor's interesting, and he's got some, you know, he has won so many awards for leadership and character and sportsmanship and those sorts of things. And his cousin is Ed Reed. So that tells you a lot about, you know, in terms of, and then just a kind of a sort of free agent-y guy. I quite like, there's a kid called Kenny Logan Jr. out of Kansas. He's a 4-year starter. He's small again in terms of height wise. He's 5'10, but he's 213 pounds. Was a bit slow, around a 4.69. But, you know, he can play all over on the back end. He's a bit twitchy. He can come downhill into the box. He led all safeties and tackles in the nation in 2021. He runs support defender really good. He's a quick decision maker, 300 snaps in the slot over the last 2 years. So he can play. He's a special teams guy. I think he's a guy that can hear his name late on day three or in. As a sort of priority free agent. He's the brother of Brandon James. Remember Brandon James, the kick returner at Florida? So he's a guy that grew up all around football because he was just at the Swamp the whole time. Coaches say he's like an extra coach on the field. I think Kenny Logan Jr. is an interesting player on the back end.
Chris?
You know, Simon, you mentioned Jalen Simpson, and I agree with you. Like, one of the first things that stands out is the guy is absolutely allergic to physicality, right? Like, if there was an allergy to touching people. Interestingly, though, he is kind of one of those guys, and that annoys me a little bit. Like, you're allergic to physicality, but you are kind of a headhunter a little bit. Like, you know, he's looking for the clean shot, you know, on a player. And, but you mention him and it brings to mind something else. Because Jalen Simpson, I actually wonder if he is going to convert to corner.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he has the athleticism for it. He has the movement skills, clearly has the ball skills. And you know, if you're allergic to physicality, then you're probably better off a corner. It makes me think about the fact that the safety position, the way it's going in the NFL, and this is not new, but the way it's going, really, the guys that are going to be playing safety in the NFL, a lot of them are going to be corners right now, right? A lot of them are going to be corner prospects and coming out of college. So, you know, and just for example, I mentioned out of nowhere, I bring up Storm Duck because he has a cool name. Right. He's over 6 foot two, or he's sorry, not two. He's over 6 foot, 195 pounds, runs a 4.43 with over an 11-foot broad jump. There's a lot of good athletes at the corner position, right? Coming out of this draft. Pick a guy, you know, just close your eyes and point, and you're going to find a really good athlete. I don't know that you necessarily can say that about the safety position. And so I kind of wonder, you know, who are these corners that are going to be converting to safety? Because we know there are going to be a lot of them. It's just like the guard tackle thing. Like the guys that are going to be playing guard in the next level, half of them are going to be tackles right now. And so it kind of makes me, you know, wonder if we look at it through that lens, you know, do we go back and look at some of those corners and be like, you know, hey, that guy's going to be playing safety. Cam Hart, he's going to be playing safety, you know, stuff like that. But otherwise, I've already mentioned a bunch of late round, you know, or kind of safety guys that I'd look at between Sione Vaque and James Williams and possibly, you know, Omar Brown, guys like that. I know the Dolphins are looking at Nick Bradford from TCU, which is kind of interesting because they have that three deep look, you know, where it's the safeties actually have kind of a low or smaller coverage area. And he was the middle. He was the middle safety always in that look. And so that's kind of an interesting guy for the Dolphins to be interested in. But Simon, I mean, do you think there's going to be corners moving? That seems like it would happen.
I think you look at some of the guys, you look at some of their movement skills, you look at some of the height, weight stuff in terms of, you know, Simpson is the perfect example. I'm just kind of looking down the list of kind of guys that you would absolutely sort of break out and think, yep, yeah, you could definitely move to corner. And yeah, there's a guy like Miles Sims, Georgia Tech, you know, he's 6'2", 188, and people saying he could be a safety, but you know, he ran a 4.45, he played corner for the Rambling Wreck. I mean, I didn't love his corner skill at all, which is hence why I put him at safety, but he's absolutely a guy that you could envisage being flipping back to corner. I mean, you know, some of the more undersized guys, I mean, Tyke Smith is, you know, it's probably a safety, but it, you know, might be a nickel safety and a guy that comes down and plays in the slot, you know, in terms of that. And then you've got, you know, we go back to the top and you look at Bullock. You know, I was reading a number of teams actually talked to him at the combine about moving to corner full time. And I think that's really interesting and instructive in terms of what, you know, you want to do with a guy like Kalen Bullock. And then, you know, you go back to look at corners, and like you just said, you know, there are bigger guys there that you think, you know, could easily, like you look at Isaiah Johnson of Syracuse, 6'2", 208. He could easily add a few pounds and be a safety. Jaquan Shepherd at Maryland is another one, a guy that could, you know, bulk up, maybe add 10 pounds and could be a safety. I think, you know, it's kind of horses for courses in terms of what you're, you know, what you're looking for. And you just wonder if a guy maybe is a bit slower or a guy that just doesn't, you know, change direction as quickly as you want, but is well sized and has probably got a frame that can add a bit of weight. You know, they're perfect candidates to move across and play safety. You know, there's obviously going to be some guys that don't, but you look at like a guy like Jarian Jones. He's 192 pounds, but he's got a frame that you think could probably add a bit more. Cam Hart, you just talked about, is 204. You know, even Kyrie Jackson, Chris, is 203 and almost 6'4". You know, that's a big old unit that you think if it doesn't work out a corner, you can absolutely look and, you know, would you move him across to safety depending on what he did. So, yeah, the multiple skill sets. And you know, you tend to find a lot of these kids as well cross-trained either in college or in high school. If they played corner, some of them played safety. So that they're not completely unused to the position.
Yeah, it's just, it's very striking then. You've got a situation in this class where, you know, you have some safeties that are going to potentially move to corner, and you have some corners that, well, of course, as always, you have corners that are going to end up moving to safety. And so it's very fluid.
Yeah. Chris, you were talking about a little earlier about kickoff returns and how it's going to be different. I just did some simple math. Last year, 280 touchdowns. There's been 57 Super Bowls played. There's been 10 kickoff returns for touchdowns in those 57 games. So, yeah, it's going to – and by the way, last year there was no returns whatsoever in that entire game between San Francisco and Kansas City. So, yeah.
Well, they're trying to bring it back from the dead for exactly that reason, you know?
Yeah, so it's just, so if you're doing simple math, there's five times as many kickoff return touchdowns in Super Bowls than there is in regular season games. All right,
that's crazy.
Final question, and look, it's hard to just give you your full board, but let's just say Miami's sitting there at 21, right? And they got a defensive tackle that's on their board with a first round grade. They have a wide receiver. They have an edge player. They take Cooper DeJean instead. Who wants to go first in justifying it, Chris?
You know, thanks, because like my initial instinct is actually to not justify it. I do have an issue with I don't have an issue with Cooper DeJean as a player. In fact, I think he's a corner. I think that he's a versatile corner. I think that he can be a good player at the next level. I don't have that much of an issue with the prospect. What I have an issue with is the idea that Cooper DeJean is, you know, going to be a safety nickel hybrid in the mold of a Kyle Hamilton. Because that is what Kyle Hamilton was. I mean, the other safeties in Baltimore came down and played in the slot some, but really no more than most safeties do. In the NFL, I think Javon Holland does that. I think everybody's looking for safeties that can come up and do that a little bit. What we're talking about with Kyle Hamilton was really a different animal in that, you know, half the games, he was their primary slot coverage guy. And so, so you had a lot of three safety packages that were actually just, you know, Kyle Hamilton as the slot nickel corner, coming down and playing and using his size, 6'4", you know, I think what 215, 220 ish, to be a factor that way. And I don't think Cooper DeJean is that. And so I question that. I question the idea. Are we being too literal in this in the way that we're trying to apply or bring over transport Baltimore's defensive style over to Miami? I think that they do need safety help. But is Cooper DeJean really it? You know, and if there's a misapplication, it's funny you mentioned Minka Fitzpatrick, because Minka Fitzpatrick went total Captain Chaos on us and demanded a trade because he felt he was being misused. Yeah. And he was being used as that Swiss Army knife everywhere. And he felt that he was being essentially used wherever needed in order to bail out the bad players. And so he ended up, you know, this was supposed to be ultimate great character guy, right? Minka Fitzpatrick was ultimate great character guy. And he wasn't ultimate great character guy for us. You know, just because he liked his coach at Alabama doesn't mean he's going to like his coach in the NFL. And I think that there is a danger with Cooper DeJean. We are talking about a guy who played primarily corner. You know, if you look at his snaps breakdown and things like that, he was playing primarily corner at Iowa. I think there is a real danger there. So I'm not actually going to make the case for him, for a guy that played, you know, 630 out of his, I don't know, 700 snaps. He played, you know, that's, what is that? What's the percentage on that? It's got to be 90%. He played 90% of his time at a wide corner position. I'm not going to make the case that he's our Kyle Hamilton, that he helps us transition to the Baltimore defense. I think Miami's already got the versatility to play the slot. They've already vowed to use Jalen Ramsey there opportunistically. He's your opportunistic slot, not Kyle Hamilton, right? And I think that they have Kader Kohu. They have Kendall Fuller, who spent half his career in the slot. I think that we have enough of that. I would rather a guy who is a really good safety, if that's what we need, is a really good safety. And so I would not be looking at him at that position in the first round for Miami. Now, if we're talking about a straight corner and we're like, you know, hey, Cam Smith, not it. You know, Kendall Fuller, not long. Jalen Ramsey, maybe he's not long. I don't. Kader Kohu, we're just going to throw him out because he sucked last year. Like, if that's what we're talking about, if that's where we are. By the way, who was for anybody that actually cares about PFF grades. Who was the top rated, number one, best rated corner in all of the NFL by PFF last year? It was Ethan Bonner. As hilarious as that is. But anyway,
I think he played like 14 snaps in the playoff game or whatever, and those 14 snaps were chock full of good stuff, including a fumble recovery.
Yeah, no shade at Ethan Bonner. I think that actually that is a rock that you need to flip over. You need to see how deep that goes. You owe your team that. He played only 23 snaps, so let's not be ridiculous here. But if you are saying, hey, Cam Smith, not it, Kendall Fuller, kind of an older guy, and how long is he really going to be here anyway? Jalen Ramsey, you know, maybe we're starting to see cracks in that. Kader Kohu, well, he's just gone the garbage pile. You know, if you're saying that about the corner position and you want to take Cooper DeJean because of that, I get it. I do. I get it. If you're saying I want to take Cooper DeJean because, you know, this is how you transition with a safety slash corner, I don't get it.
Sammy, you want to take a crack at it?
No, I think Chris has done a pretty wonderful job, really. I think part of the confusion over this is that we just don't know what Anthony Weaver's going to do. You know, we're not particularly instructive. You go back and look at what he did at Houston. It wasn't particularly good in terms of the whole defensive unit. What's he going to take from Mike McDonald? What learnings is he going to make from what he had in Houston? The more I think about it, the more I think that the Dolphins pick will be Johnny Newton. I think he just fits the bill. You've got the combination of him and Austin Clark. In terms of Austin Clark, our defensive line coach recruited him to Illinois. I think Miami have done a great job of filling the big guy roles that Weaver likes on the defensive line, but we don't have a guy that can get interior pressure, a guy that can play on the outside but can play inside, can be an agent of chaos in the middle. You know, we had that with Christian Wilkins. We've seen the success that he had in Baltimore with Justin Madubuike, and Newton is that kind of player. And I think he kind of fits the wheelhouse in terms of mentality, in terms of character, in terms of a guy that will come in at day one and contribute in the rotation. He's a safe, high floor pick. I think if it's a defensive back, I do think DeJean is very interesting. I think Chris has made a very good point about, you know, age and moving on from certain players, and is Cam Smith going to be the guy, and what's the situation with Kohu, and is, you know, Jalen's not going to be here forever, and Kendall's not going to be here forever. I do think Kool-Aid McKinstry is a player that they will like. I think he's a player that just gets it. I think he's a player that you can win with. He can return punts as well. He's an excellent punt returner. I just think he'll play a lot. But yeah, you know, I could absolutely make the case for DeJean, but I think Chris has done a very good job with it. I think he's a good player. I think he's an athletic player. I think he helps his team, but really we just don't know. The one point about the Carl Hamilton thing is that I don't think you can replicate Carl Hamilton because he's 6'4", 220 pounds, and is an absolute alien. But I think we have a player in Javon Holland that you can do multiple things with on the back end, and maybe DeJean replaces Hamilton. Sorry, replaces Holland and frees Javon up to do other stuff. But then you do look at the fact that they've been bringing in ball hawk safeties. They had Cam Kinchins into the local pro day. They had Javon Bullock. They had Kalen Bullock in on a 30 visit. I think that's instructive that they might be looking for ball hawks on the back end. So yeah, we shall see. But it's interesting stuff.
All right, and we're going to call it right there. And that concludes our draft series. If you want to put them all together, you want to listen to them back to back to back to back, it's nearly 6 hours worth. So you can enjoy that before you enjoy the draft. Enjoy the draft. We will talk to you when we talk to you. Maybe the next time we talk to you, we'll have some new Dolphins. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.